Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from christministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 753. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. I've got a really strong message. I believe this will be the last message from the book of Luke. We're in chapter 24. And then I'm going to get into the book of Revelation. But now let's start praying. Let's pray, Father, that you will anoint me as always to bring forth the message of the hour. We know very good and well that you went away into the kingdom of heaven and you became the life-giving spirit. So when we ask you to come into our hearts, we know you do come into our hearts and you live in us to convict us of things that we don't even realize that we need to be rid of. And your convicting power comes upon us and we know that these are things that you want us to get rid of that are in our lives. And we thank and praise you for that, Lord. And people need to really pay attention to the convicting power that you have to bring us into the fullness of perfection. And there's so many false prophets that are saying there's no place of perfection in the Holy Spirit, but we know better than that. We have to become conscious of all the different things that you, Father God, Lord Jesus, will convict us. And you'll convict us of other things that need to be put to an end. Put to death, actually. It's our things in our own life. You don't want us to live our own life anymore. You want to live your life in and through us. And so we have to pay very close attention to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Convict us, Father God. Wherever we are, conscious of the amount that we must put away. Make us conscious of that, Father God, and make people through this message be conscious of the price that you paid for the forgiveness of our sins. And, Lord, let us realize that you said, now come and follow me, do the things that I did. Otherwise, there's no possibility for us to be saved. So we need to follow your law, because you are the law in us, and we must keep the law. Otherwise, we're a lawless society like the rest of the world. Like the Antichrist. Lord, we ask that you do these things and show us these things in this message today, that people will open their heart to you. So many people feel that you're going to do everything for us, but we have to take the bull by the horns. We have to pull ourselves up with our own bootstraps and do what you say that we must do. Otherwise, we're not Christians. So, Father, bring that about. Bring the reality of that to every soul, every spirit, every mind. Make us conscious of these things, I pray, and that souls will be saved and the church strengthened. Rebuke Satan and open great and mighty doors for us, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, there's so many things that look good to us. Different properties, different houses, all different types of things, different things to do, different places to send our children, different things to teach our children. All these things, Lord, guide us into all righteousness, the things that you know that we need to be led into. It's such a wonderful thing to know that we have a Savior and the life-giving Spirit and a convictor of our spirit to lead us into all righteousness. Lord, we're not righteous unless it's you leading us into righteousness. I ask it, Father, that you do these things so that you'll heal all those that need heal, all those that have been convicted by this prayer to put their lives in the charge of you, that you take charge of our lives and everyone that has that, heal them, deliver them, cast out devils, cast out every awkward and evil thing that is coming against them in their lives, and raise them up, Lord, feed, clothe, and house all your children. And deliver us from every sickness, disease, infirmity, all of us, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because if we do what he says, we're all going to meet Jesus in person in the sweet by and by, and we're going to be there with our loved ones that have gone into the kingdom of heaven before us. Here I am with H.B. Barnum conducting the Czech Symphony Orchestra and also the Life Choir and the Hollywood Choir. I want to sing for you in the sweet by and by.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Hope so.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it apart. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that
heaven. Believe the gospel and you'll be there with Jesus. Come on, choir!
Praise the Lord. We're reading from the 24th chapter of Luke. This is verse 33. And the disciples rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 other disciples gathered together and them that were with them. And they were telling these disciples and the people that were with them, verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Now, this is really something. This Lord, the Son of Man, Jesus, was beaten to a pulp. They put thorns on his head, and they beat him so bad that you couldn't even recognize that he was a human being. And that's one of the things that they never depict in movies. They got him just looking really handsome and everything on the cross, but you couldn't tell who he was or what he was on the cross. His beard was ripped out. He was beaten with the fists of those Gentile Roman Catholics. And the Lord is risen now, indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. There's now peace. You people, you don't feel my spirit in you, because at this point I haven't become the life-giving spirit yet. But I'm going to send my peace unto you. I'm going to give it to you. Because you're going to have peace when I'm living in you and leading and guiding and directing you. And when I see you going into something that you should not go into, I'm going to convict you. I'm going to put a feeling like you almost having a heart attack inside your body. It's your spirit that I'm going to charge. I'm going to convict, so that you know that I don't want you to do this. And also, I'm going to anoint you when I want you to do something. I want to really live out my life in and through you. And so you have to be very attentive to the convicting spirit of the Lord. Well, my convicting spirit, the Lord says. So we have a conscience. Wherever we are, we have to be conscious of the amount of things that the Lord is attempting to tell us to do, and what he's trying to tell us to do. We must put away any of our own ideas or opinions of what we should do and what we should not do. Then we must put to an end the things that are wrong. When the Lord is convicting us, we must put all these things to an end. So to the extent of our knowledge is what we must do. And we know that the Lord is risen. Peter said that, and he's been talking to us. And we looked in the tomb, it's empty, and now he's standing in our midst. We must put to an end also the past that we've been living down through the years, just as for the things that we are not yet conscious of. We have to become conscious of things that we're yet not conscious of. We need only to continue to move on the Lord's correction of us and grow in the power of God. But we are totally reliant on the power of God when we're reliant on his convicting power and his leading by the Holy Spirit, being led by the law of the Spirit of life. It's the law of the Spirit of life to be led by the Holy Spirit. Why? Why should we do this? So that we can have the power of God in us, to keep us from all evil and to keep us from all temptation and keep us in the life of God. If we are disobedient to the Lord, well, the life of God will depart from us, and we won't have him as our friend, as our guide, as our spirit, our life-giving spirit in us, in the Lord. In the future, the Lord will naturally show us things that we are doing that are an abomination to him. It is at that time that you and I must deal with it and put it to an end. Put it to death, the things that are an abomination to the Lord. Some people, they have to know it all. You tell them, look, you have to, well, I have my own ideas, my own opinions, and all these things. And some people just can't help lying. But they have to put lying to an end. They get embarrassed if they don't know everything. But people, we don't know everything. But the Lord does. People would throw souls if there are any outward rules or teachings of newborn, again, Christians that they ought to end certain things, but they need to seek to stir the Holy Spirit up, to stir the sense of life within them. And they need to point to that way of life, the Christian way of life, the Jesus way of life. So we need first to cease ourselves from doing things so that we can cause others to do the same, to know that the life of God is within them, and lead them to know the sense of this kind of life. But at any rate, now Peter is saying to all these people that he is risen, and Jesus is standing saying, I want peace to be unto you, and therefore I want to live in you. I want to work in you. Verse 37, but they were terrified. Isn't it amazing how people are so terrified to have honest-to-goodness, godly leading, guiding, and direction? But they were terrified of that. and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Verse 38. And Jesus said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why are you so frightened? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Can't you see I've got flesh and bones? I am Jesus, the one that was with you for 3.5 years, and the one that was crucified, so that your souls could be saved. And I'm going away, as I told you before, to become the life-giving spirit, so I can come down from heaven in the spirit and live in you, and give you guidance, and cause you to be led by my spirit. And you must come to the point in your life that you're going to allow me to convict you of wrong things. Whenever you start to lie and I convict you, shut up, be quiet, be still, and know that I am the Lord. And when you feel this great conviction in your spirit, I want you to know that this is me warning you that something is amiss, that you're starting to do something that I don't want you to do. And I'm saying this because I don't want your soul to go to hell, so don't be terrified. So when he showed his hands and his feet and his side, verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy, they were so joyful, oh God, this can't be true. It's hard to believe. And wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Are you hungry, in other words? Verse 42. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. Verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. Now a spirit can't eat. This was his body, the Son of Man, the human body that rose from the dead. A spirit can't eat food, but he's eating with them to show them in every way possible that he is a raised from the dead human being with God in him. And God is the one that raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me, the Messiah, the living God, the man I came to the world in the flesh, so that I could provide salvation for you, and could cause you to not be machines, but I want you to surrender your entire life to me. And when you do, your former life will be done away with, and you'll have this new eternal life forever and ever. You'll dwell with me in heaven, and those of your loved ones that went on before you will be there, and you'll be there with them. And your loved ones that are still here on earth will see the testimony of me living in you, and they'll be there with you as well for eternity. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. And I understand what that means, because when I was in the office, I could not, would not ever believe that Jesus was real or that God was real. It just sounded too far-fetched. We teach our children Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and we teach Bambi and all kinds of fairy tales, and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and all these different things. Then when it comes to the point that we're teaching our children about Jesus and the Father God, the Holy Spirit, we need to pray that people's understanding will be open so that they can understand. God did that for me when I was unsaved and in the office doing a promotion for a young singer back in the 60s. And it happened. He revealed to me how powerful he was, and that he could take my life out of me back and forth, which is my spirit. And he was doing it by his spirit. He can do everything. And he enlightened me. He opened up my mind and made me know that there was a heaven and a hell. He opened my understanding. And he did theirs too, that they might understand the scriptures. Well, he didn't give me the complete understanding of the scriptures. I think he gave me a deeper insight to him, because I didn't realize that God knew every hair on my head and everybody else's head, and the hair on every dog, cat, mule, horse, every bug on earth. You have no idea the intense brain and spirit of God. When you say he knows everything, he does. He knows every blade of grass, and I know that his brain, his mind, his power, his spirit is so powerful that I believe that he even knows the name of each leaf on every tree in the world, and every pine needle, and every grain of sand. And he's so powerful that he knows every grain of sand and have a name for each one of them. He's vast, and people don't understand that. And I pray that God will open your understanding to that fact. And when he opened up my understanding like that, I knew that he knew all those things. And he knew me before he ever visited me. That he knew me before I was ever born. He knew that I was going to be in that office from the very beginning of time. That I would be frightened and so much fear of him that I would want to know what he wants me to do. Because when there's something that big, knowing that God is that big, I just wanted to please him. He's too powerful for people to mess around with. He's too powerful for you to ignore him, because it's for sure you're going to stand before him one of these days. And then you're going to know that the things that I'm telling you are minute in comparison to the way he really is. He knows every fiber, every strand, and every piece of cloth, every grain of dust. He knows every bit of in every carpet in the world. He knows everything. He knows the mind of dogs and cats and beasts and everything. He knows us inside and out. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Well, what are the scriptures? The Bible says that Jesus is the scriptures. He is the word, that they might understand him, his power. The Bible says all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. I mean, when you see the world going around, you see it on a computer or a picture or something, it's Jesus, the Word of God, the Scriptures, that's holding the world up, and all the other galaxies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and every galaxy. He's got it set like a clock. Everything is like clockwork, but he's going to make everything start going berserk because he's tired of us running to and fro berserk, acting crazy and acting excited over nothing. He's tired of that, and so he's going to start allowing the universe to become bizarre. It's going to frighten people. There's going to be unexpected earthquakes in different places all over the world. There's going to be unexpected hurricanes and tornadoes, twisters, typhoons. There's going to be unexpected diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses. There's going to be earthquakes in different places, all kinds of catastrophes, floods, hail, every type of thing. And he's going to show you what it's like to be unruly. The Lord will let his unruliness touch you one way or the other, so that you understand him who is the Word of God, the Scriptures. Verse 46, and Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Well, he wants to live in us so that we're able to suffer also without wavering. He doesn't want us to waver before people, or to be like Jim Baker that rolled up into a fetal ball when those officers picked him up, pulled him out from underneath of a couch in a shrink's office, and he just was weeping and crying. The Lord doesn't want that. When they arrested me on false charges, I had a big smile on my face, because I was full of joy knowing that I'm suffering some of the persecution that the Lord went through, and that the prophets and the others had gone through, the apostles. So we have to have that power in us. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer for us, to show us that this is the way it really is, folks. He didn't die on the cross and shed his blood and come into the world and not sin to set us up in Beverly Hills or Bel Air or any place like that. Some people he may do that with, but don't expect it. And if he does it, don't let it go to your head. So he's to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And he did that. And we need to know that this was a human being that was begotten by the Holy Spirit with the power of God in him. And the Bible says that all power belongs to Christ. All wisdom and power, all fear of God and all power belongs to him. So wherever you see anything happening in the heavens, that's the power of Christ. Christ created everything and for him. Verse 47, and that he did this, rose on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Well, people are going down the streets distributing literature, but are they preaching that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he runs the universe and that he became the life-giving spirit and that he will live in you if you ask him to, and that he will work in you and through you if you do this, and that he died so that there could be forgiveness of your sins, and that these words should be preached in his name, in the name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. I mean, you people know that these things are true. You saw me raise the dead. You saw me do all the things that I did, to heal the blind eyes, cast devils out. You saw me murdered, and you saw me buried, and you saw me raised from the dead, and you saw me eating with you. You saw the holes in my hands and feet and side, and you know it now, and now I want you to go around and tell everybody that. So they all have a chance to be saved, because by faith in these things, you're saved. By doubt, you're dead. You're a dead fish in the water. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Oh, I send this promise of my Father upon you. Well, what do you think I saved you for? I saved you so that the promise of God would be yours, and that you would be concerned about others just like I was about you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. I want you to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Well, I want you to all go into this upper room in Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there, tarry there, wait there, until I send my life-giving Spirit into you. And when thy Spirit enters into you, that will be the convicting Spirit. That will be the living Spirit, my Spirit. I am God. I am the Almighty. I am the Spirit of God. And I will live in you, so that you will be endued with power from on high. You shall have power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. I want to drench you with my Holy Spirit. You say you want the Holy Spirit, you don't want it as bad as I want you to have it. It isn't something that you have to beg me for. Just raise your hands up and start praising and thanking my name, and let the Spirit surge through you, and you'll, the evidence that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking in tongues. And you may not speak in tongues again for the rest of your life, but you will speak in tongues as a sign to you that you really have been endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for a continuation of the book of Revelation, so you'll learn what must be done in these last days.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.